This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
But yeah, no, the beam ain't never going nowhere, bro. It can't. This is that. No, I don't want to hear that discussion anymore. I'm making that proclamation right now on March 28, 2025. So if they tank like everybody wants them to and they stink for 5 years, every win, the beam needs to be in the sky. Period. I don't want to hear nothing else about it.
Who was talking about you?
Are you good over there? Talking to you, Dame?
Me?
Yeah, I know this game's probably got you a little stressed. Yeah, I saw you looking right now.
Make that move.
I
didn't like that move.
It's so different. Get in there. It's so different when you're the two seed. Like, and it's North Carolina.
North Carolina.
This matters.
No, it's North Carolina again, and it's like she's beaten North Carolina once or twice because I think she got him in the – No, that was the first time. Yeah. That was the first time, right?
Yeah.
The ACC tournament. So, yeah, like, I can't lie. I want this pretty bad. I want this for her pretty bad.
The thing that I will say is it is 39-32.
Crazy.
This is Duke basketball.
This is 100% Duke basketball. Yep.
What they
need someone in these moments. You know, we were talking with Kyle earlier, the Kings having those, you know, do you go Keon closer? Do you go Malik closer? Like, it's a game situation. They have a lot of Keon closers. Mm. That's who Duke has. Duke has a roster full of Keon Ellis's. Mm. Sometimes you need Zach LaVine out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need DeMar DeRozan. And every once in a while, you'll have one that will creep up. Reagan Richardson. You'll have someone who will show you, yo, I can
who's
get buckets
the,
when it
the
matters
girl that
the
went
most.
Off against Oregon? She started cooking. I can't remember her name.
This year or last year?
The other game.
Yeah. I don't remember who that was either. Because you know why? You know why you don't remember? You know why? Because it's a different woman every game.
Yeah.
And there's no certified closer. Mm. And it's great that you can get stops. It's great that you got one of the toughest defenses in the country. But there's going to be a point over the course of the next 8 minutes and 11 seconds where you're going to need a bucket. Mm-hmm. Who is going to get you that bucket? They've been in the Sweet 16 before, but with this amount of time left, having an opportunity, you're up 7 with an opportunity to go to the Elite 8. They didn't have this last year.
They need to get old girl from Florida State. She's in the transfer portal. She's a bucket.
Kara's been great in the transfer portal, but you know what the difference is? That's Duke.
Mm. Yeah.
Not everybody can get into Duke, and that's a shoot.
That's true, too.
Not everybody can get in.
They say she might go to South Carolina.
Great. That's awesome. I'm real happy, Kenny. I bet you're thrilled.
Thanks for that one. Read the room, brother.
That's what they say she might go.
Hey, by the way.
All right.
Speaking real quick, though, like not real quick, but since we're talking about college basketball, my bad, I didn't even put this in here, but man, Cooper Flagg was amazing last night. He was amazing last night.
Yeah, he's special.
He's as advertised.
He absolutely is.
Advertised. I talked about it.
He absolutely is.
On the post-game show, it really feels like Carmelo. Like when what he's doing, the way he plays, the way he can dominate a game, the poise, the IQ. As a freshman, mm-hmm. I haven't seen that as a freshman since Carmelo Anthony, and he took them to the national championship. Cooper is that. I thought maybe I was speaking in hyperbole, but there was a lot of people, you know, college basketball writers and stuff like that last night who were like, yo, that was one of the great freshman performances we've ever seen in a tournament. Like, that was great.
Let's go a step further. Grant Hill, the greatest Duke Blue Devil of all time?
We had this discussion as well. So maybe. I said Cooper's top five.
Let me. Okay.
But you're looking.
My fault. Let me try this again. Let me try this again. Grant Hill, the greatest professional Duke Blue Devil of all time.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Grant Hill, okay, go ahead.
For now?
That's what I'm asking. That's where I was going right there. Grant Hill had maybe inarguably the most explosive, impactful first 6 years, you know, aside from the Jordans and the, like, LeBron, Magic, like, Grant Hill's first, they were that. You talk about face of the league, and Grant was him. Go ahead. You found something. Who am I missing?
That's what I'm saying. For now, like, man. Tatum might take that soon. If not this year.
I forgot about Tatum, too. He's
4-time All-NBA already, 6-time All-Star. Give me 5-time All-NBA.
I understand what you're saying. Grant Hill.
Hold on. Hold on, because I want to see. Jason Tatum's first. How many years has he been in the league?
6, 7. Same as De'Aaron, right? 7, 8?
8. This is 8th.
8th year. 4-time All-NBA?
It'll be 5 this year.
Grant Hill, first 6 seasons, he was All-NBA 5 times. Mm. And it's fine. Maybe Tatum does wind up being the great. Mm. But when you talk about the first 6 years, Grant Hill was him. He was next.
He was. No, he was. He was. He was.
And I wonder, is that what we're looking at with the brother we saw last night?
Could be.
Figurative brother, of course.
Could be. Could be. I think he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He is unbelievable. People in the chat, Kyrie, greatest NBA. I think he's greater than Grant Hill. Like, I know what you're talking about, like,
sure,
the beginning of,
yeah,
of his career. But
sure. Yeah. So, okay, so once we stretched that out, I was really focused on the first. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, once we – sure, Tatum, maybe it is Kyrie. Maybe Kyrie is the greatest.
I think
people have trouble with, and maybe – I don't want to lump anybody else into my category. How many games did he play? 11?
Yeah, 11. I keep on thinking 7, but I think it was a little bit more than that.
And it was Kyrie or who?
Derek Williams.
That's what it was. I remember it because, you know, our good friend, Io Taylor. I don't know. Is it Derek Williams? Is it Kyrie?
You sure it's Kyrie? 3-time All-NBA, 9-time All-Star?
I think Kyrie's
you
left
go
out
off
of those.
Ability?
No, I think Kyrie's left off of some of that stuff for other reasons. Of course, he has the injuries, too.
Yeah.
He has the injuries, too. I won't make a definitive statement because my argument was centered on Grant Hill and the start of Grant Hill's career. If you want to make the argument that it's Jason Tatum, I probably won't fight you on that. If you want to make the argument that's Kyrie Irving, I won't fight you on that. We can lump this into a group conversation.
Yeah.
How quickly can Cooper Flagg integrate that group?
It's pretty.
I give him 6-7 years.
I think right now.
I think it could be quicker.
Maybe I'm prisoner of the moment, potentially. I think right now he's top 5 at Duke, ever.
I don't think that's crazy. Yeah, I don't think.
Wait,
that's
crazy. Wait, are we talking just Duke in the NBA or just Duke players now?
Just Duke players.
Oh, okay.
Duke players. I think he's top 5. I mean, I know you got Elton Brand did some great things. Boozer did some great things. Zion went to a Final Four, or did they lose in the Elite Eight? And Zion was great for the year he was there.
I don't think Zion went to a Final Four, did he?
He played,
was it the Elite Eight?
It must have been the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight?
Yeah.
It was? Okay.
He played, in one of those.
Because I feel like the Final Four would have been mass hysteria.
Yeah, yeah. No, CBS Sports, kind of tough. Zion Williamson disappears in an Elite Eight loss.
Damn.
Oh, come on.
Duke's best player only matters 2 points over the final 6 minutes of action in the loss. That's tough.
Come on.
That's funny. I didn't even think of Zion as one of the best.
Paolo on Duke there, too.
Yeah, Paolo's nasty.
Paolo,
but the crazy thing about Paolo, he is still, despite Orlando's struggles right now. Oh, I'll tell you. You talk about stories to tell. Mine's dumb. It's not nearly as impactful as yours is. Well,
it was funny, though.
It was funny. Were we together yesterday?
For a little bit.
Did we do KSF?
Yeah, late day.
I checked the Orlando game once. And I'm pretty sure I said out loud, Orlando's kicking Dallas's ass. Never looked again and was so confused this morning why Dallas was only half a game behind. Like, seriously, I kept refreshing the browser like, oh, this must be up from yesterday's show. Why isn't it changing? Go look at the score and see that Dallas essentially blew them out in the second half. Mm. And Orlando blew that lead. Get in there. There you go. There you go. 44-32, five and a half left. Come on, man.
Let go.
Orlando might be the most disappointing team in the league this year.
Well, no, stop it. I'm sorry. The Philadelphia 76ers have 23 wins.
Yeah, but Orlando got their guys back.
And let's also relax, Jesse. We'll have this discussion on Monday.
Great point. We respect the Orlando Magic around here,
true
pal.
Champions. Oh, my fault. Yeah, Orlando Magic, great. Yeah, I love Disney World.
We respect the Orlando Magic around here.
Shout out Ray Frostin. Shout out Hedo. Shout out Rashad Lewis. Shout out really? Dennis Scott and his rant with the kids.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Von Wafer was a Magic at one point.
Do you feel like you left someone out?
Well, obviously, Shaq, Penny, all those guys. Dwight Howard.
Thank you.
Well, it's fine. I mean, did you know? I saw this on Inside the NBA one time.
Did you know?
Well, look, because we're talking about, you know, they got 12 numbers retired.
The Magic?
Orlando?
That feels way worse than the Celtics having 100.
No, I'm saying.
Well, you got Jameer Nelson's number up there?
Shout out Jameer Nelson, St. Joe's in the building. Because it was on Inside the NBA, and they were like, yeah, tonight was Dwight Howard's jersey retirement. He became the 12th or 14th player to ever.
Stop.
Chuck couldn't even finish the highlights. He said, what?
Should be Dwight, Shaq, and Penny.
What?
Rashard Lewis has a jersey?
Whose other numbers are retired?
Let's try and guess this before we look it up. It's going to be Shaq. Penny.
Does Scott Skiles have his number retired?
I thought about Scott Skiles.
Hedo Turkoglu should have one, I think.
T-Mac. You're saying Hedo?
I think Hedo, yeah.
We got Dwight now. I'm at 5.
How are we supposed to get to 13?
There's no way. You have to be mistaken. There's no way. that's not possible.
I'm going to look it up right now.
That's what Ernie said.
Wasn't Shaq's the first one? Who?
That's what Ernie said. So if I get chatty house, it's from Ernie Johnson.
Okay, Ernie got it.
All right, hold on. I think you did. There's damn it, Kenny.
That's what Ernie said.
No. It's you, Bill Russell.
This is ridiculous. What are you doing?
Look, I'm about to find the clip. I'm going to find the clip. You done lost me. We're going to find the clip.
Jesse.
We're going to find the clip.
When I just pulled up, it had three players up there. It was Bill Russell, the sixth man, and Shaq.
I don't know if that's accurate, because I'm pretty sure Penny got his. And Dwight Howard.
We're literally looking at it right now.
I'm about to look right now.
Let me keep looking for this. I don't know why it's so difficult to find.
I'm about to look. Because Ernie said this, and Charles Barkley stopped doing the highlights.
We're not going anywhere until we get to the bottom of this. Yeah, call Orlando Magic PR if we have to.
Orlando Magic. I remember they played the Chicago Bulls. When did they play the Chicago Bulls last?
You got... Ernie got Chatty House. Bill Russell, number 6. Shaquille O'Neal, number 32. That's it. I'm looking at the Olympics.
I swear when they did Shaq's Orlando jersey, I'm almost positive they said Shaquille O'Neal is the first Orlando Magic player to have his jersey retired.
Russell's league-wide, too.
No, you guys are right, but we ain't going to put this on me. I'm going to find when Ernie said that.
No, this is on you, guys.
Oh, no, okay.
I found the episode. I'm about to get back. Okay. What are we talking about?
Okay. No. You're not looking on your phone.
I'm on the show. Oh. I've got the show.
I want it on the stream.
All right,
we're
going to pull that up.
No, we are. To be clear, we are sitting here. Until we find this clip.
14 Orlando, like, I would have been like, no, I would have called the show. You guys are wrong. There's no chance.
Here we go. No, because they played.
No, that ain't it. Well, okay.
We got to find this right now. They said they played them on what day?
Yo, look, Now, yeah, go to commercial.
This is the March 6th episode.
Okay. Go ahead. Because that was all during the commercial. You owe the radio audience an apology.
I don't owe anybody an apology.
You let us all astray. It's
the same damn thing, almost.
No, it's not even close.
It's not close. 13. They were talking about the Magic Hall of Fame, the Orlando Magic Hall of Fame.
I think Ernie.
That's close.
I feel like Ernie misspoke. Why do the Orlando Magic have Dominique Wilkins in their Hall of Fame?
Well, Ernie didn't misspeak. That was a tweet from Orlando that he read.
Orlando, you guys are frauds.
Orlando said, hey, we're here celebrating Dwight Howard today as he becomes the 13th member of, there it is right here, Dwight Orlando Magic Twitter. Dwight Howard will become the 13th inductee into the Orlando Magic Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going to get like five of those guys out of your Hall of Fame. Then. They didn't even play there, really.
And actually, technically, the announcement was this day. The actual induction was, what's today, the 28th? It was on the 24th. It was earlier this week.
What a who is this for, Dwight?
Mm-hmm. What a coinkydink.
Huh.
Shout out Dwight. They'll forget about him one day. They make top 75 or none of that.
That's crazy, man.
That's the other argument I had for maybe Kyrie being...
Come on. There you
being
go.
Being the right. Best Duke basketball player of all time. I know he didn't make the top 75, but we all think he should have.
Right.
I don't think there's any other player in Duke history that has that argument right now.
Yeah, like I'll take Tatum, but we'll talk about 100 top and all that. Yeah,
like, yeah, he'll get there. And Cooper will probably get there.
Yeah, like, and that was the whole discussion.
Yeah.
Ah, man, that's okay. Like three threes in a row, but they got okay. That offensive rebound. Okay.
It's over.
Okay.
It's over.
Nah, give me one more basket. Just give me one more basket.
Dude, they're up double digits with a mid. Like, stop. No, like, we're not gonna let you do this.
Just give me one more basket.
This is like when you're
saying. Don't tell me how to fan. Give me one more basket.
It's over. We're under
maybe a minute. Shot clock. Shoot it.
This is Dame sitting before the
now
show.
It's over. Yay! There we go. There we go. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. One game away from the Final
man.
Four. Oh, baby. Oh, there's the dagger.
And
they're just going to get rebounds.
And another offensive
they've
gotten, rebound.
They've
wow.
got the ball for a minute and 4 seconds.
Wow.
It's like that one time Dame was all nervous before a live show at Sky River.
Wow.
When you're nervous, they're going to be here.
Oh, this is great.
Woo.
This is terrific.
They just can't get the
They've missed like 8 shots in a row and are going to win this game. Oh, this is tremendous.
Duke is going to the Elite Eight to take on the winner of South Carolina and Maryland.
Up. Yeah, who are you rooting for?
I'm going for South Carolina in the game today.
Yeah, and who are you rooting for in the next
man,
one?
Man, you know what I do. You know what I'm saying? You know the vibes. Let's go. I'm going for Duke. I'm going for Duke in the game.
Not even
South Carolina in 8. You know what I'm saying? 8 and 8.
Look at Coach, not even smiling. Just hey, good. Good game. Good game.
8 and 8. I want to see Duke in the final four. Are those book ones on the way?
No.
Oh, wow. Well,
those are never on the
I don't
way.
Know, man. Kyrie, I mean.
I'm sorry. What's Don sending you? You tell me what Don is sending you.
No, I'm going for Duke. I want Duke to get to the final four.
Man.
And I want Duke to get to the final four.
They ain't going to be able to do it, I don't think, with 47 points.
That's just what this game called for. It was also a conference game, so they're familiar with each other, and that plays a role into that. Maybe that low scoring output as well.
Man, that is amazing.
Yeah, man. That is awesome. Real quick, we kind of mentioned it in passing, talked about it in depth during the break, but for the radio crowd, didn't really hear. Taylor Jenkins in Memphis. That was
that's crazy
this morning.
Yeah, man. I was expecting... I was expecting the New York Times report to come out. Like, oh, what did he do? Stanford just fired Coach Taylor. Like, what did they get him for?
Right.
Apparently, this was a basketball decision.
So when I heard it, I went straight to the streets. Went to the streets of Memphis, man. Shout out Glorilla. You know what I mean? I was in them trenches. And they were like, oh, happy day. The people in Memphis were like, this, it's about time. Like, yeah, this is good. And I was telling my wife about this situation. She said, how many games are left? I was like, 9 games. She's like, why would they do that? The only thing that I could think of, because a lot of the people in Memphis were talking about how they almost, they fell this close from calling him Nick Sirianni. They're like, he doesn't run the defense. He doesn't run the offense. What is he even doing here? And that was the thought process. And some people would be like, hey, play the season out, see how it goes. You can move on from him in the offseason. But maybe the general manager, the ownership, thinks, hey, we're good this season. Like, we can make a run. Maybe I don't know about championship, but we can get to the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
We have the talent. We don't have the leader, and there's no guarantee what might happen next year.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, sat around, and it's like, do you think if we make this move, we still have a chance to get to the conference finals? And if the consensus was yes, I don't think I would have done it. Like, I just would be scared to do it.
Sure.
But, yeah, if you think this is an opportunity for you to go for it and win in this postseason, it doesn't matter if there's two games left.
The team has reached – the players on that roster have reached their breaking point with him, then yeah, I think you do it.
Yeah, it's got to be something along those lines,
that's
right?
That's one of the things they were talking about. And this is harsh. It didn't feel this way, but they were talking about players and quit on them. They didn't say specific players or anything like that. But
that's the only way something like this happens, unless like management just hates the guy.
He is he's always been a unique personality. Like, he has a big personality. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, yeah, right. But you know what I always thought was the team took on his personality. I kind of assumed, obviously, you know, that's my bad. That's an L on me. I always assumed that they were all in this together. It certainly doesn't sound like they were digging, regardless of how they act on the floor, they clearly weren't digging Taylor Jenkins' personality.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I missed on that one. I thought that was their team identity, and it was set by him and this was their move.
Yeah, I was just like everybody else. And then 2 minutes into me listening to, I think it's 92.9 out there, and they're like, yeah, it was about time this happened. Needed it to happen. So it's like,
wow.
Am I in the same place? Am I listening where I wanted to? And yeah, they.
I mean, obviously, they're there. They're connected. Yeah. Hey, missed it.
Does that name interest you guys at all here?
So,
I didn't hear. What'd you say, Justin?
I said, does Taylor Jenkins' name interest you at all here?
I mean, good. No, go ahead. I just didn't even hear what he said.
Well, so there was kind of two directions I was going to go with that. Since Jesse took us there, let's go there. No. I think he's a good coach. But is that going to work?
I guess wins.
Okay. There's probably a multi-layered question. Is that going to work with this roster? Is this roster next year's roster?
To answer that second question, it should not be next year's roster. And I think if you retool, like, yeah, you get a good coach.
And you're willing to give Doug the boot?
I'm willing to keep my options open right now. I don't think Doug has ran away with a job from me.
No. That's his job. I understand. Now, I understand.
I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek here. I'm being a little S-starter here.
Shocker.
But to our conversation yesterday when we talked about Vladdy, you did this before and it failed miserably.
What do you mean?
You took a Grizzlies coach who was really good with Memphis, brought him here, and it didn't work.
Taylor Jenkins and Dave Yeager, two different people.
Why are they two
different?
Because one is Dave Yeager and one's Taylor Jenkins.
Dave Yeager had like the same resume.
That stuff doesn't, that's like, no, I'm not going to take a quarterback from Alabama because they don't turn out or something. Like, that don't matter to me.
But no, but the resume is the same, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't lead to success here. And I'm like I said, I'm just being an ass starter. But like, that's, he got fired for a reason.
Yeah, no, it's just, like I said, I'll take the Dirk, who's the top five seed.
53.9 win percentage. 34 wins, 38 wins, 56, 51. We should tell the whole story. Last year was 20.
Give them credit for those other 3 years.
Last year was 27. And they're 44 and 29 this year. 250. 214 is his record.
23 playoff games, 9-14 in those 23 playoff games.
To answer your question, Jesse, he does interest me. I don't know if I would actually do it, but I think he's a good coach. I guess it really comes down to what I believe in him or Doug Christie. And I don't know, maybe like North Carolina's AD, I just have to leave the room because I believe in Doug Christie, maybe blindly. If you give him the right pieces and give him the right roster to work with, I think he could do great things. Great things. I just believe in his philosophy and the way he approaches the game of basketball.
Dave Yeager, 147-99, win percentage of 598 in Memphis.
What three was it, 3 years?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
It's not like Doug's or Yeager's time here was the smoothest either.
No. It definitely wasn't. Let me ask let me try another question, because you laid out why the people in Memphis believe that this happened. Jesse asked about Taylor Jenkins in Sacramento. The Shams tweet was already hot coaching candidate next year. Do you think Memphis has someone in mind already?
I don't know.
Maybe not the way Chris Finch, and because that was immediate. But do you think Memphis, or did you hear, like Memphis already is eyeballing someone for next year?
Not like that. Like they, they don't, the people who were talking don't have a idea of who might be next. Whoever, I think the guy who's going to be the interim is the guy who runs the offense. And their thought is maybe he's the guy that takes over. Because then it was like, it was also like this whole thing of like, he runs the offense, but they had taken the ball out of Jaw's hands a lot, and the offense would sputter, and it just wasn't going smoothly, and in roundabout ways, I guess, the offensive coordinator, for lack of a better term, would let it be known through back channels or whatever.
Well, they're not
my offense.
Yeah, they're not done. They just parted ways with two other assistant coaches. I could Noah LaRoche, Patrick St. Andrews. I don't know if any of those names mean anything to anyone listening.
Remember the one time Howard Beck was talking about that executive that talked to him about John Morant this summer?
Yeah, I do. I do.
You think that's a little something?
Well, so check this out. And like I said, not to just do an essay on 92.9, but that was one of the theories that they brought up, right? Is the offense is not, they've taken the ball out of John Morant's hands. He has taken a back seat or maybe a step back in the eyes of NBA media. Like, what I mean by that is, like, at one point, him and SGA were like, who would you rather start a franchise with? It was John, SGA. And if you ask that question today, SGA is like,
yeah, it's far and away, yeah.
And part of that is, you know, the thinking would be, John's like, well, they don't run the offense through me no more. They don't give me the ball. And then they're like, well, if this is what we're doing here, maybe I don't want to be here. Because I need to get back to that status, and I need the ball in my hands to do it, i.e. Taylor Jenkins having a little bit more control of the offense, taking the ball out of his hands. And like you said, John,
I'm going to keep my eye on that one.
If this is what we're doing, if this is how we run an offense, I don't know if I want to be here. That was just a hypothesis. It's not a report.
You're keeping your eye on the Jaw
situation.
I think that's fair. I think that's perfectly fair. I do wonder if the next head coach, whoever that might be, has a different philosophy with Ja Morant. And it's tough, too, because you do now have to look at Ja being injured. You know, if you feel like maybe we've grown past the Ja Morant silliness on Instagram and social media and off the floor, okay. Now you got to worry about his actual ability to stay on the floor. This team has had a dramatic turnaround with him being back.
But at some point, you got to give credit to the rest of the guys because Ja's missed so many games this year.
Shout out to Nico Harrison because we get to ask this question forever, too. It's like, you want to keep paying him? How far is that going to take you?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point, too, Jesse. Like, the Luka Doncic deal changed the way we can look at Ja stars, superstars. Penthouse super. There's like five of them. The Luka Doncic trade kind of changes the way you look at that. So you look at an imperfection. It's like a diamond. Mm-hmm. Diamonds have flaws, color change. Every little grade brings down the price of that diamond. It's like with superstars now. Every little imperfection. Now all those, could they be traded?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't work out enough. He's a little overrate. Oh, he got hurt. Or he gets hurt too well. Could we trade him? Hmm. It's why, as amazing as he is on the floor, the Zion Williamson conversation's not going to go away. Right. It doesn't matter what Griff says. Right. It's not going to go away because if a team calls and says, hey, You look at the games played from Zion Williamson. You can look at the impact all you want to, but you look at the number of games that he's played. And you ask yourself, is it worth doing this deal? Because not only the Luka Doncic deal, but the Anthony Davis aspect of this. We can make our Anthony Davis jokes, and we can talk about him not being on the floor and all of this stuff, but if you know, he had his healthiest year in years last year, whether that can translate again or not. I mean, Dallas was obviously comfortable that this would be the new norm for them moving forward. The barometer for a Zion Williamson, Ja Morant deal is the equivalent of Anthony Davis. It's a star. We'll do the deal, but it's a star for a star. Or it's the Kevin Durant deal. That level now has been established. You're going to see, I think you'll see that moving forward with teams who are starting to approach aprons and realize, I don't want to do this, dog. Yeah. We can't do this. We're not a championship contender. Apron teams have to be championship contenders. Yeah. Otherwise, you're burning money. Owners, billionaires will burn money to be a champion. They won't do it to go to the second round of the playoffs. At least I don't believe they will.
No,
because you won't make your money there.
Right, right. And yeah, it and this goes back to that CBA that I don't like, that just forces.
Draymond was right.
He was right in this one. He's definitely right. It forces these guys to make these decisions that are just kind of like that's not even fun, right? Like, oh, well, should we think about trading Luka? What? But, like, when you break it all down, like, I get it. It makes sense. But that's not the way you should be thinking about it. That's not the way these teams should be ran in the NBA. But because of this new CBA, that's the way they seemingly got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember our guy, Anthony Sain, who came on the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Ja's BFF.
Yeah.
He had everything.
He reported. He didn't report. He's predicting that the guy's name is Tomas Lasalo.
Okay.
He's going to be the next Grizzlies head coach. That's the assistant that was running
the offense. That's the interim head coach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
He was running the offense. And apparently, as I go through his timeline, he's been out on Taylor for a while. Like, he thinks Taylor's been a problem for a while. So okay. I guess down there, I mean, we look at it here, like, why? Like, what's the big deal? A lot of people down there, man, just – didn't think Taylor Jenkins was the one.
Understood. Okay. Interesting. Let's see what TC thinks. I don't know about whatever he wants to. 916-909-1320. What's happening, TC?
What's up with my two brothers, bro?
What's up, man? How you doing?
All right, nah, man. I sent that Meek Mill to y'all on text, bro. Hey, it ain't a whole song, but hey, he back on his stuff.
Okay.
Now, you know, that's just on a music note. Hey, on another note, right? I know it's crazy. You know how we get out here. We talk about coaches and players and all that, right? I don't know where he's going, but if those two could hook up, Taylor and Doug, bro, that could be scary next season.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, TC.
I wonder.
I don't know what to do with that.
I
don't think Taylor Jenkins would come to be assistant.
Yeah, I don't.
But so where do you guys stand? And this, it's kind of like what we talk. Like, you can't do this all the time. Like, because in this business, everybody gets fired. The great coaches, the Hall of Fame coaches get fired or whatever. But you look at somebody like Taylor Jenkins, right? And it's like, man, we think he's a good coach, but a lot of people were anxious to get rid of him. Why would we think like this is such a great thing?
Well, ran its course there and he wins. Like, yeah. This ran its course there. Like, bring in different players, different egos, all that stuff. Maybe it'll work here.
It may be. Maybe. Like, that's
my thing. Like, he still wins. If the Grizzlies were a team fighting for the play-in or whatever, just kind of floundering around, it's like, oh, and they have issues, then yeah, I'm cool off of Taylor Jenkins. But
is this one of those things where, I mean, I guess maybe it's chicken. Who deserves, I mean, Taylor Jenkins, the coach deserves a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. But let's look at this again. It's 34, 39, 38, and 34. Those are COVID years, both of them. He's 56 and 26, 51 and 31. I understand the team was decimated by injuries last year. They're 27 and 55. They're 44 and 29. Lost in the first round, lost in the conference semis, lost in the first round. You really want to... Is he a roll of the dice to you? Like, what's your confidence meter?
I mean, if I get the right players in here, like a 7 or 8, I'm not going to blame last year on them. Really? They had nobody.
Understand. Stop yelling at me.
No, I'm not yelling.
No, but I get it. So, okay. What would be your confidence meter, and I'm just going to use your term, what would be your confidence meter in Doug with the right players?
Oh, maybe one under, like a 5, 6, 6, 7. I like Doug. I like Doug, but
well, I understand you. I understand you giving credit for Taylor to Taylor for what he's done. Like,
it was like 351 seasons in there.
I get it. Like, Doug's coached 40
there's,
games.
There's more that I can see in front of me with Taylor than there's with Doug.
I hear you. I thought KC made a solid point by bringing up Dave Yeager. Dave Yeager was a winning coach in this league before he came here.
Well, yeah, but what is your point with that then? Like, is Taylor Jenkins going to be banning people from practice too? Or
okay, that's not what.
Like, it wasn't just Dave Yeager can't coach. Like, there was issues.
That's a solid reference, but no, that's not what I meant.
Is Taylor Jenkins? You might have to deal with some stuff here. Can he still be a – do you believe
so we're asking
if he has to deal with some stuff, he can still be a successful head coach? Do you think
– we're asking if he can deal with the Kings' dysfunction?
Yeah, and
I don't think anyone can win with the Kings' dysfunction if we're doing that.
And still be good. Now, like I said, I think Dave Yeager dealt with some dysfunction as well. Like, there was
– oh, he definitely did.
Well, no. I'm talking about in Memphis. I remember in Memphis when that happened, I think it was more so when he got hired here in – Sacramento, they were talking about how the Memphis owner, I think he's still the owner, or maybe like he was, they talked about him the way they talk about Vivek. They just won games. Mm-hmm. But they're like, this guy is different. Mm-hmm. Like, he is not stable.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still like, he dealt with him, was still able to win. You know what I mean? So do you think you got a guy in Yeager or Doug Christie or whatever who, even if you're dealing in a situation that isn't always stable or great, he can still handle that locker room and make sure those guys win? I don't know. I think
if you're presenting that, I'll take Taylor Jenkins still.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
And I only ask this. You'll ignore – feels like this is real early. A lot of people said he's not it. A lot of people are a lot closer to it than we are. That's like somebody trying to tell you about the Celtics or even the Kings.
He's not it with that group of players is the way I see it, and that organization. But if Taylor Jenkins comes here and we got a plan, like, this is what we're going to do, let's all be on the same page here.
I haven't heard one person, and I haven't listened to a lot or read a lot.
Like, did this just go bad now too, or has this been the case for the last 4 years? Like, I'd love to know that.
Can we hit pause?
Pause.
We can continue this Taylor Jenkins conversation because I have another question. not just Kings related, but league related. So we'll resume this. Phone lines are open for you at 916-909-1320. Steelo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Casey says, I hesitate to say he's awful, but he's awful.
Well, no, because there's a component to it. He's an awful rapper. Like, he's garbage.
Yeah, he can't rap for nothing.
But
I'm talking about Playboi Carti.
But, like, production-wise, that's where he shines. And, like, being able to make a song or a melody or something like that.
He can make you, like, scrunch your face up a little bit, move your head.
So that's why I can't say he's awful overall. Yes, components of him.
Casey Tucker says, D-Lo tries to listen to a lot of music. Man, that's a shoot, bro. That is an absolute shoot. I love Will Smith. Love. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give this an honest shot. And I was like, nope, I'm out. I can't do it. I thought the opening skit was I thought was interesting because he cusses a couple of times. And I thought, okay, all right, he's going a slightly different route. But it was to get a point across. Uh-huh. And it's like a character skit, like Jazzy Jeff is on it. Like, it kind of got my hopes up a little bit. Saw Teyana Taylor's name on the track list. And then I think it might be like a gospel album. Like, not gospel, like a choir, but like like the Gospel Gangsters. Like, I think he's rapping. Okay. Like, I mean, he's talking a lot about faith and in God. And obviously he's gone through some things. And it's like, oh. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's it's like, oh, okay. I didn't want this. And I didn't finish it. And so I went to Dirk. And I started to listen to Lil Durk a little. I had to switch it up. So I went to Lil Durk, listened to that for a few tracks. Immediately was like, all right, okay. Like, I hear you. And then tapped out a little, you know, kind of was like, all right, I don't want to do this anymore. I need to focus on what we have to do here today.
Understandable.
And, I'll give them, I'll try to finish both of them.
I ain't going to lie to you. I'll probably never hear Will Smith's album.
And that's fine. Like, it's
he. I hear, you know, he's doing some spiritual stuff. That's cool. As long as he's not doing what Marvin Sapp is doing, then it's all good. You see that video circulating?
Oh,
that was crazy,
God, no.
Bro. That was crazy. Marvin Sapp at his church is basically like, "Hey, we got 1,000 people in the audience right now. We got 1,000 people on the live stream right now. We need everybody to give $20. Ushers, close them doors. Close the doors. Nobody's leaving till we get to 40K. Said, yo, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this man?
Okay.
That was crazy.
Sometimes they'll get crazy with the offering baskets. I've heard some things too at church.
He told him, he said, no, don't even pass the basket around. I want to see who's doing it. Bring the baskets up here. You bring the money up here.
One time this pastor, I think, said, yeah, you're not going if you don't offer. All right.
You know, it's funny, like,
oh man,
I went to one of them. Yeah.
I'll never forget it, too.
Yeah,
I'll never forget it.
Yeah,
I heard what I heard.
I hear you. And this ain't like a religious conversation at all. That's why I stopped going to church. Mm. It's like, y'all are.
Got my Bible
with
me.
This is not what I'm here for. Like, my connection is solid. Like, I'm.
You got a coffee shop right here.
Right.
Now, one of the things about that, and then we can move on, is like sometimes. You get a bad apple, right?
No, for sure.
One of those
for sure.
People that are out for all the wrong reasons. And then sometimes you go to places where they solid and they about the right reasons. So it's just
you know what changed my perception on church forever is Charles, my brother, pulled up on us a couple. Mm-hmm. He used to speak. Mm. And I remember he wrote this amazing sermon one night. It was like a Tuesday night, or it was the first one he ever did. And man, I heard my brother talk and I cried for hours listening to him. Mm. That Sunday, the head pastor did the same exact sermon that he did. Mm. And didn't give him an ounce of credit. And I remember sitting there looking at my brother, watch him, and I just saw his facial expression change. And we kind of waited. I knew what he was doing. He was waiting.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. Mm-hmm. Ever forgot that. I've had so many bad experiences. Again, connection solid. Mm-hmm. I had so many bad experiences there. Yeah. Now Marvin Sapp holding people hostage.
That was a crazy clip. I kept seeing it circulating around, and I finally ended up just watching it.
Hey, you imagine going to the door, it's like, nah, this is really locked. You're not getting out unless you throw some money in here.
I said, what? No, so look, I got this. This is a visual only, but I saw, I retweeted this. So if you unblock me, you might be able to see it. I can't really explain it. You got to see it. But the tweet is, me if the usher at Marvin Sapp's church won't move away from the door.
Mm-hmm.
When I try to leave. And it's these guys fighting in front of the pulpit.
Oh, man. Well, if you plan on going to Marvin Sapp's church, you might want to contact Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, because the real estate bar has been raised and you can avoid the hassle of selling your home and get at least 3 guaranteed cash offers in 72 hours. And clearly, you're going to need them.
You're definitely going to need them if you're messing around with Marvin Sapp. But look, Johnny Jennings, this guy, he gets the job done, right? My man, Johnny Jennings, he don't mess around. When you ask for his services,
mm-hmm.
like my girl Rebecca did,
mm-hmm.
because she was hearing about Johnny Jennings' guaranteed offer on the radio, on D'Lo and Casey, and wanted to hire him because she needed to sell her home quickly.
Yeah.
It's not just about being quick with it. I need all the money I can get here.
Well, clearly, you got to go to church.
That's right.
Or you're going to get held hostage.
I need at least $40,000.
That's it. You know what I mean? Yep. In cash to take with me to church so I can get out.
I need at least $40,000. And he got that taken care of for her. You know what I mean? She got with Johnny Jennings and the Made for More Realty, and they were able to get a full price offer, and her home sold really quick. First weekend it was up. So my man Johnny Jennings, he always looks out.
They sell your home 27% faster than other homes on the market. They're voted the number one team in Roseville for the past 3 years. You can ask about their guaranteed home sale program. Ask about getting multiple cash offers. Expect more. Get more. Just like you do with D'Lo and KC, with Johnny Jennings at Made for More Realty. California DRE number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. Taylor Jenkins may need Johnny Jennings and his team, because he is clearly on his way. Not clearly, he is on his way out of Memphis. The question is, where is he going? Is he going anywhere? We've been asking a lot of Taylor Jenkins-related questions as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings. I'll ask you with Taylor Jenkins questions as it relates to the league. Was Shams right? Is Taylor Jenkins a hot coaching commodity headed into next season?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Put a coach who's got 350 win seasons under his belt or whatever, like last year was bad. Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Uh-oh. I think I got Jesse. You might be going the same place.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jesse. Yeah. If Memphis hit you up and was like, y'all tripping out there, what you think about Mike Brown? You see his resume. Should we hire him? Matter of fact, let's go get him now. What would you say? What would you say, Jesse?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Because now I don't got to worry about you out west.
Do you think...
I get it, but I'm not ready to give up on... But no, hold on. Counterpoint. Mike Brown was like 3 different teams before he got to the Kings, and they all hated him before, too.
That's fair.
One team hates Taylor Jenkins right now.
This was Taylor James' first job.
Yeah, right? Only one team hates Taylor.
That's not...
Matt Barnes came on here and said, I don't know, fellas.
That's not fair, and that's not true. Cleveland, Dan Gilbert fired him the first time because he was desperate, and he thought it was what LeBron James wanted. Mm. That's why he did it. The Lakers won. Well, I don't know what to say about the Lakers won.
And he still went to Cleveland.
And then Dan Gilbert fired him again.
And that's still Mike's fault. That's a one-year wonder right there.
And my whole point, though, my point to that was, Jesse, you've seen him every game for 2.5 years. Just like they've seen him in Memphis every game. And you're like, nah.
There's a little bit more history with Mike Brown.
Okay.
That makes me feel a little bit better about it.
That's fair.
There's more of like, yeah, maybe Mike was the problem here. And here as well.
That's a good point, too. Was that where you were going to go?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, what you, I want to hear what you got to say.
Do you think Dave Yeager would have been a hot coaching commodity if he didn't come to Sacramento? Mm. Like, do you think, because he Memphis is like this, so, Memphis essentially let him leave to come to Sacramento. If they had just let him leave and there had been an open market, if you will, would the league have been hot for Dave Yeager? I ask that question, and I do this respectfully because I know Dave has battled some health issues, and I know he's doing really well right now. But were they knocking down his door after he left Sacramento? Because remember, he was in Sacramento. Sacramento was very much a joke. It was a problem. It was one of those things where you just look past what happened in Sacramento. I don't know that people were knocking down his door to make him the head coach, make him their head coach.
After Sacramento?
Yeah, after Sacramento. So would that have been different had the Sacramento thing ever happened? Because I don't think it would have. I don't know. I don't think Dave Yeager is a bad coach today. I didn't think he was a bad coach in Memphis. I didn't think he was a bad coach at all in Sacramento. But they don't call for him. Why? And I'm not, I know it's kind of lazy, and I apologize because Taylor Jenkins is also in Memphis. But I feel like there's more similarities than just the last place that they coached.
I don't know. To me, they're both different situations. I don't see them the same.
So you know, okay.